Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate and professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This is episode 3 of At the Whiteboard, where I'm here alongside Garrett Hallinan as we break down different elements of the ultimate Frisbee experience. Today's episode, we'll be covering the topic of looking at the college Frisbee scene for the spring semester and the fall semester, just the differences and what we can learn and how a team should approach these different areas. So really excited to dive into this topic with Garrett here. And it's kind of a perfect time as we are over Christmas break for a lot of college students, Garrett. And it's really good to reflect on the fall. And then now you approach the spring with a new mindset and, you know, you're looking towards the tournament season now.
Yeah, it is a really good time just to kind of reflect and think about, you know, what went well in the fall, what the team succeeded in, what needs to change. And hopefully for a lot of teams out there, you guys were able to get those reps with throwing. We're able to really hammer in those fundamentals so that you can prepare yourself for the spring, because that's typically where the bulk of the season is for Frisbee. That's when you get to start to go out to tournaments, start to play against different teams, different opponents who maybe you didn't even realize you're going to be playing until you get to the tournament. So that fall work, super important. Right now, even more important, arguably, just getting that time to rest, to be with family and friends. Maybe you're not throwing the Frisbee. That's okay. You're getting time to just rest your body, mentally prepare for what's to come in the spring.
That rest is so important. Just a quick throwback here, a little off topic, but it goes back to that episode we had of avoiding burnout. Rest is so important when it comes to this offseason. Allow your mind to relax, your body to relax, and, you know, approach the spring with vigor. But, you know, we'll stick on the first here on the fall semester when you're looking at college. The first two things that kind of jump out to me, you hinted already, is throwing. I think that's something that's so critical. You have a lot of new guys that come on to college teams in the fall, because that's obviously when a lot of recruiting is done in the college campuses. And obviously a lot of majority of these guys joining college teams aren't going to have a very extensive background when it comes to Frisbee. So throwing, I would say, is probably the number one thing a team needs to work on when looking at the fall. And I think when you reflect back on it, you can say, how much did we throw? How good are our guys at throwing now? And I think it's probably a good indicator of what your spring season is actually going to look like when you go into these big tournaments, you play against well-formed teams. And then another aspect I think is really important is chemistry. We have so many new guys, you know, freshmen, or could be sophomores, juniors, whatever, joining a new team. And they're coming to a system they may not be familiar with. They're coming to a culture they're not familiar with. And there's just little traditions that kind of typically come with a Frisbee scene, I guess. It's pretty unique in the culture that surrounds this. So learning to embrace those areas and just be a good teammate, kind of ask questions, be a sponge, learn those things. And I think if you do those things well in the fall, then you're going to set yourself up for success in the spring.
In general, too, I would just say the fall, you're getting to learn the guys, learn each other. And that's that chemistry you're talking about, David. It's you're feeling each other out. You're trying to figure out who can do what and what each guy's role looks like. And that can change in the spring. Like I can attest to this myself. My senior year, I was a big cutter. That was kind of my role in the fall of senior year. And then I became a handler senior year and got to do a little bit of both. And so my role changed. There are a few different guys on Abe's team. And I know on a bunch of different teams out there, your role is susceptible to change moving from the fall to the spring, just because you might lose a guy or two. You might pick up a couple guys. The roster might change a little bit. And depending on what's necessary, your role can change, which is good, because hopefully from that time period, from the fall to the spring, you've improved as a player. You can do things that maybe you couldn't do in the fall. And so you have flexibility there. The throw hopefully has improved. The cuts have gotten better and gotten sharper. And so that enables teams to kind of put guys where maybe they haven't been before so that they can continue to grow as a team.
Now, Garrett, we've mentioned this in your episode where you were actually interviewed in this podcast about 2 weeks ago now, where you've had this role with a team of Avi Murray, you've helped coach. So I'd love to hear your perspective on this, is how much game time or tournament time do you think teams should have in the fall? Now, you want to avoid the idea of burnout, but you need some level of experience in the field. And there's just so many moving balances, you know, moving elements to that idea. But how many games, how many tournaments, what does that game day feel like for the fall season or fall semester for a college team?
If it was up to me, I would say it would be really good to play in at least one sanctioned tournament by USA Ultimate, and then also one, maybe one round robin tournament as well. And the reason why I say that is because it's really good to get that exposure in the fall to traveling to some, some spot to play against different teams and have that feeling of a sanctioned tournament in the fall. That's a really good experience to have prior to those bigger tournaments in the spring, just to have that sense and that feel of what it's like to go up against that competition. So, definitely advise teams to try and do that. Obviously, we're no longer in the fall semester anymore, but on a go forward, it is super good to expose yourself to that. And having one round robin tournament, what I mean by that is something that's smaller, something that's closer to home, like hopefully just at like your site or maybe at a nearby school's field. Like that's really good to build that chemistry to just kind of get familiar and get the opportunity to play, maybe two or three games in one day. So yeah, I would definitely say one sanctioned tournament, one round robin, maybe a couple scrimmages outside of that, but I do think that's plenty. Like we Ave Maria played seven games in the fall. I think that's a nice number. I don't really think you'd ever want to get close to 10 or over 10. I think that's definitely where you'd experience burnout, which is obviously what we talked about in the first episode here. In the spring, you want to play as many games as possible because that's the crux of the season. That's when you're playing in tournaments. That's when you're trying to get that bid to nationals. So the more, in my opinion, the more games, the better in the spring. But when it comes to the fall, seven games is a nice number. Again, one sanctioned tournament, a round robin, maybe a scrimmage or two outside of that. But I think that establishes a nice balance for the team.
I think that whole idea, it shows a little bit of seriousness. Like, this is the real deal now. It's not just a bunch of guys that came out to a field to throw a piece of plastic around. Well, at the heart of it, that is what it is. It's camaraderie, brotherhood. But when you have to prepare yourself for the spring, you want to make the atmosphere that this we're playing for real. Because then you get to those late season games in the spring, it is for real. And there needs to be a level of seriousness that surrounds it. So that's another area you can really prep and help set your team up for success. But obviously now we're in the little mini off season. We're, just that Christmas break, and we are entering this spring semester now, where it does become a lot more serious. This is the bulk of the season now, and this is where I think a question comes up where a lot of people take different opinions on this. Is you get back to campus, you've had 3, 4 weeks off, where a lot of guys kind of relax in their conditioning. From the team atmosphere, from the coaching atmosphere, do you come out of the gate swinging? Do you do hard conditioning? Do you get back, try to ease yourself into it? Do you hit the team with a tournament right away? There are a lot of different areas, a lot of thoughts you can take the team January, February, early on. A lot of different areas you can take that.
Going back to freshman year, at least for me, we played in a tournament fresh off of Christmas break, and we got our butts whooped. And it was very humbling because we thought that we were a good team, and then we realized that we didn't do the conditioning necessary to uphold that status of being a good team. And so we went to this tournament, and again, we got whooped. But that was really good for us at that time. Again, this was a few years ago. I guess for this, it really depends on the team, whether you want to hit them with the tournament right away or not. It kind of just depends. In that situation, I think it was honestly the best thing that could have happened to us because we realized that year that there are so many good teams out there, right? And when you play in the fall, you're playing against teams that are closer to home, right? You're more familiar with them. They might be good teams, they might not be good teams. Either way, it's good experience, but you're really not aware of how good teams are out there. And so if you play in a tournament fresh off winter break, right, coming back to school, that could be really good because it can be a very eye-opening experience to have that sort of competition right away. Now, in some cases, I would advise teams, especially teams that are just kind of starting up as club teams, not to do that. The reason why I say that is because you want the guys just to continue to build that camaraderie amongst themselves, I think, at home first, right? Just practicing and getting ready for those tournaments. So it just depends. If you're an experienced team, I definitely say, yeah, go ahead, go to a tournament, see where you're at. If you're a team that's just kind of starting, maybe take a little bit longer to throw yourself in a tournament to get that extra experience.
I think something that helps with this whole process is communication, especially during the weeks that we're in right now when it is Christmas break. And this is probably geared a little bit more to teams that are a little more established, that are grounded in who they are, is communicate expectations that, hey, we want to hit this tournament right away and we want to do well. So make sure your guys are getting conditioning in. If they can throw, get those throws in. Maybe some of the teammates live close together. And that responsibility really falls on, you know, the captains. Maybe there's a coach in the picture as well. But you could break up the team into groups and kind of allow, you know, we talk about a little pod basically, and allow for that kind of subculture to exist, that those guys are accountable for each other and make sure they get the reps in, put the work in. So you do come back in the spring and all the work you put in the fall is not wasted, that you're just building on this. So you come in and you basically don't skip a beat, because the pressure does mount. These, the more sanctioned tournaments you play, those go on your record. That affects where you are in your seeding for conference and regionals, which is what we're building up to. And in this whole process, I think it's important to set mentally where you are, that if your goal is to win conference or win regionals and go to nationals, you need to set those expectations now and like visualize that. That's something, Garrett, and I, we talked about all the time at practice, is visualize winning those games, visualize it's 14, 14, 13, whatever it is, it's universe point, and you got to go all out for those points. So start mentally prepping for those things now.
And this off season too is the perfect time to do that, because it's not like you're really doing anything else. So getting to imagine those moments of playing in games that are that serious and that close will incentivize you to put in work when you have the time to do so, whether that is a pod with another player like you were talking about, David, or getting to the gym or running on the track somewhere. That'll give you that motivation and encouragement in order to keep that up. And so, yeah, it is interesting just looking ahead here with the spring coming up. It's going to be exciting to see where teams are at, and hopefully just to kind of gather, you know, what guys have done during this time, during this off season, and just to be able to learn from others too, because the Frisbee community is such an amazing community and people are so open and willing to have these conversations and discuss what it is that they do in order to better themselves every day. And so we'll be good to hear more and more guys come onto this podcast to hear their opinions as to what works best for them during this time of year.
And in that same vein, learning from others. We mentioned this so many times at the whiteboard sessions here, and then just in the interviews we have on this podcast, is watch film. Like, watch it individually over Christmas break here. Watch it with your teammates, but then you come back in the spring, watch it as a team. Because you're going to be around people that pick out different things than what you're going to see. And that's critical. You only can see so much that happens in the field. You, maybe it's your first year playing, second year playing out there, and you just don't have the same Frisbee IQ as, you know, your captain that's a senior, or even a fifth year senior, as, you know, sometimes happen. People are using their COVID year now. And like, you gain so much valuable information. I remember, you know, Garrett and I playing for Ave Maria, we would have film sessions, the whole team would get together. It'd be, I think it was like 6 a.m. in the morning. We'd go to a classroom in our academic building and we would watch like almost an entire game of one of our opponents. And then we would break it down. People would be able to share their comments. And I think that's such a great session to implement into your team. Imagine the benefits that come out of that, especially for the teams that are at the top of their regions or conferences, or those that are just seeking to elevate. It's such a plus. It's such a bonus for the team. And I also think it's a good culture mix, I think. We had a lot of fun doing it, mixing it up with the guys. It's always fun spending time with the guys. So that's always a win.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It's so true. Get a pizza and just kick back and relax for a little while and watch some Frisbee. It's a very enjoyable experience. And like David is saying, you can certainly learn a lot from it, because, you know, one set of eyes is one thing, but then having 30 set of eyes on the same screen focused on that same game is a game changer for sure. And there's a lot to be taken away from that. And you'll hear the good players talk about the importance of watching film, and for a team to get to have the opportunity to do that is critical. It's so important, and it is, yeah, it's incredibly beneficial for sure.
Yeah. And looking back at the experience that Garrett and I, we've talked about it so many times in different variations here in this podcast, is, you know, our lead up to regionals that we had this past spring playing for Ave Maria. It was a great time, some hard practices, but we were hungry, and a desire to want it, I think, is something that defines a team. It gets guys motivated, it gets you excited out there. So in our case, we had practice at 6 a.m., which I think is pretty uncommon for a lot of college teams. It's usually going to be in the evenings getting after it. But I think that gave us a different mentality. And Garrett, from your case, you're a very vocal leader on the team. But again, we were up at 6 a.m., you're tired, you're exhausted. How do you continuously show up in kind of the dog days of the season when you are past this Christmas break, but regionals conference seems very far away still? How do you continuously get your team to show up?
It's all about accountability, and the fact that you know that the guys are going to be there will motivate you to do the same. And as a senior last year, David and I both, we knew that it was so important that we set a good example and that we were at every practice that we could go to at least. I mean, if you're sick, you're sick. So it's not like you're really helping the team if you're showing up like real sick. But I mean, if you're healthy and able, it's so important to set the standard and to show up. And being a varsity sport last year definitely changed the game too, because as a club, if you miss a practice, it's not the end of the world. It's like, okay, you had to go do something else. But the fact that we were all signed up for this, right? This kind of all-in mentality, there was no room to make excuses anymore or to not, just like not want to be there. This is what we signed up for, right? So that negative mentality, for us, it was just so important that we threw that out the window and just enjoyed it for what it was. And I think that we did a good job of that. I think the guys this year on Ave's Ultimate Team are doing that as well, which is really good because there's nothing like waking up at 5:45 in the morning and getting to see some of your closest friends out on a field for an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is. It's such a good way to start your morning and to start your day with that physical exercise and to just get going and to break a sweat because it sets such a good start for the rest of your day. And so I know a lot of college programs don't practice in the mornings and because it's not really possible in a lot of cases because of classes and whatnot, and I get that. But for any programs out there that maybe do have that flexibility, or even just doing a pod workout like we were talking about earlier, it's definitely good to get the guys going early in the morning, especially when a lot of the tournaments you end up playing in happen in the mornings, like those first games. You get those initial touches at 8 a.m. and then you're pooling at 9 a.m. and the grass is a little bit wet. And so all of those months, even those dog months of January, February, March leading up to conference and regionals, are so good and so worth it because you recognize that you're preparing for something greater and putting yourself in those circumstances, in those situations that you'll be exposed to later on.
I 100% agree with everything you laid out there. There's so many pieces to that make a team successful. And the last point I want to bring in here is the idea of goal setting. I think this works on an individual level and it's a team level as well. I think going into the spring semester, it's critical to say, myself personally, I want to be able to throw X, Y, or Z. I want my throws to go farther. I want to be able to do this kind of throw. And then you share that. You write that goal down, you share that goal. I forget the exact numbers on this, but when you write a goal down and you share those goals with people around you, the likelihood of you achieving that goes up exponentially. So imagine if every person in your team say, I want to improve this area of my game. And then you guys come together and you say, we want to do X, Y. We want to win this tournament. We want to win conference regionals. We want to go to nationals. Whatever that goal is for your team, it could be as easy as maybe you're a new team. You want to win a game. That could be as simple as that. Sharing that, and then everyone is on the same page, and you can collectively work towards something, and the chances of you achieving that become so much higher. And then, like you said, when it's February and you've been at it for a month, but your regionals, your big tournaments are still a ways away, you can go back and say, this is why we're doing this. This is why we're working hard in the middle of I don't even know what month, and no one else is seemingly doing what you're doing. So, highly recommend just a goal setting session with your team. That's really, really critical. But as we wrap this up, Garrett, final thoughts. What would you say is the most critical piece of prepping for the spring semester?
Begin with the end in mind, right? Have something tangible. Have something tangible. And for us last year it was beat Franciscan for a while, and then it became beat Barry. And just hearing those words as a sort of chorus amongst 30 other guys at 6, 7 in the morning, whatever it was actually a great way to start the day because again, there's that sense of hunger there and that sense of determination. And you just go after it day by day by day, and each you just keep drawing nearer and nearer to that end date, and the excitement just continues to grow and grow. So when you're in those dog days, like we're calling them, when it seems as if that end isn't drawing any closer, it is. Know that it is, but keep those tangible objectives in mind, right? The beat X, Y, or Z team, whoever it is, keep saying that, keep believing in it, because then you'll be able to do so down the road.
Incredible. Thank you for joining us here for episode 3 of At the Whiteboard. I'm here with Garrett Hallin as we break down just the fall semester, spring semester, and college frisbee in ways that you can improve yourself and your team. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section, and make sure you check us out on Instagram at breakside_podcast. This is David Adamitis with Garrett Hallinan. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Clutch Money City Dope.